Hello, and welcome to Season 8, Episode 7 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. We're grateful to be sponsored by Level Up Financial Planning, who understands the importance of finding balance between having an awesome life today and being confident and excited about your future possibilities. If you want to take your financial confidence to the next level, check out levelupfinancialplanning.com, and you can get that link in our show notes. I'm Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate group of developers at all stages of their journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. We're here to share it with you. Here with me today, as always, is my co-host, Dan.
Yo, what up, Beck? How's it going?
Yo, it is going fantastic. How is it going with you?
It's going great. Today we have a super awesome episode for y'all. We talked with Taiwo. Taiwo is a backend engineer from Nigeria, and he's also a longtime member and room leader and all around very, very great person. He has this amazing energy to him, and it's always a good time hanging out with him. And we had a great conversation.
Yeah, it was really good. Taiwo is a really great storyteller. So just to be able to sit there and listen to what he was talking about, all of his journey from, I think, electrical engineering, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To coding was really interesting. And I just was super impressed by his ability to stay motivated, to surround himself by people who allow him to continue to grow in his journey and to have that mindset of like, yes, I'm always going to be improving. It was just, it was really refreshing, I felt.
Yeah, absolutely. And learned a lot of things about Taiwo. I mean, I've sort of casually known him for a while, but it was nice to hear a lot more of his story. I had no idea he had a twin brother. Maybe other people knew that already, but I did not. And
twin brother comes to Virtual Coffee as well. So shout out to Leo.
All right. Well, nice. Well, I've either never met him at Virtual Coffee or I just assumed it was Taiwo. Who knows? Maybe they're doing a switcheroo. What was that movie where the twins? Wasn't there a movie with Lindsay Lohan where she had
Parent Trap?
Parent Trap, yeah. anyway, it was a great time talking to him. It was cool learning a bunch about his story, and I don't know, he has a lot of good stuff to share, and also just to, like I said before, a great energy. I feel like you come out of this, anytime you're hanging out with Taiwo, you come out feeling better just in general.
Yeah. Also, I just want to mention that Taiwo is looking for his next role. He's going to be transitioning out of this one soon, and he gives his pitch at the end of the episode. So one, if you are interested in learning how to pitch when you're put on the spot, definitely check that out. If you're looking for a back-end engineer or someone who would make an amazing teammate, also listen to that last bit of the podcast as well.
Absolutely.
And we start every episode of the podcast like we start every Virtual Coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. We hope you enjoy this episode. Our random question of the day is, if you wanted to do something relaxing, what would it be? My name is Becca. I'm developer experience lead at OpenSauced. And if I could do something relaxing in my current day and age, it would probably be to go for a hike. When I was younger, it would be just to read a book all day. But I find with 4 children, it is very hard for me to sit and do anything. It is often not very relaxing. So I like to be moving. Always, unless I'm sleeping. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Dan. I am a web developer from the North Coast. And
it's not the North Coast.
It is. It is. Cleveland. Yeah. What?
Of Lake Erie? Is that what they call it up there?
It's the North Coast of America.
The coast of Lake Erie.
No, it's the North Coast of America.
It's not really, though. The coast. Where the ocean touches.
Well, or a big lake.
Ohio does not
touch. Or a big lake. Listen, it's a thing, okay? Just, okay?
Cleveland thing? It's not what we see in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, Pittsburgh is garbage, so you know everybody knows that. all right, just kidding. Pittsburgh is awesome.
Sorry, Pittsburgh listeners.
Sorry, not sorry. Anyway, to relax. Yeah, I mean, I like reading a book. Hiking is also a good one. I'd say riding my bike is also a good thing. And actually, the first thing that popped into my mind was canoeing, and it's probably on my mind because I'm going canoeing in about a month or so. So I'm looking forward to that. But there's something special about just like being on a canoe and, you know, paddling in a calm lake.
Kayaking, yeah, I would add that to my list too.
Yeah, I've never enjoyed kayaking, but I respect it. I just have never personally enjoyed it. I don't like. I'm just always uncomfortable in a kayak. I've never found one that I've liked. But
only canoe. That's one.
Personal preference. So you know, kayaks aren't garbage like Pittsburgh. All right, go ahead, Taiwo.
So, hello, my name is Taiwo. I am a backend engineer at Grace Health, and I am from Nigeria. When you talk about what would I do if I wanted to relax, I think I'm moving out of my very energetic phase of life into a much more, I just want to be left alone, and I don't even have kids. So I wonder how that will be in the future. So right now, if I wanted to rest, I will either do two things, either hang with friends, like, you know, chill, do nothing, just chill, or just be by myself at home, maybe sleep. I think, yeah, that's like the peak of relaxation for me at this point of my life. So thank you very much, Dan and Becca, for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for being here. We're happy to have you. And we start every episode of the podcast with origin stories. So tell us about your journey into tech and what it's been like getting to this point of your career.
Awesome. So growing up, my dad is a teacher. So, you know, teachers and books. So I think growing up, while I was around 7 years old, I started reading biology textbooks, you know, history textbooks, pole science, Europe since Napoleon. So, you know, the exposure overload from the start. Then my dad has this friend of his that was an electrical engineer. I'm like, oh, he's so cool. I think one of the peak of that coolness was once he came to our party and then our speaker had problems. And like magic, that time was like magic, but now I understand. But there was like magic and he fixed it. Then everyone had something to dance to. Now, how that kind of memory sticks to your, you know, head as a kid. So that was what, like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I want to be an engineer. So I continued, you know, went into university, studied electrical engineering. Surprise. Engineering. And at a particular point, we had a strike in Nigeria. Nigerian universities were known for that, you know, just take like 2 months, say, okay, we're striking, you didn't pay our salaries or something. And that was when I just, you know, helped a friend do his thesis project. And then, lo and behold, I started writing backend code rather than just building hardware, you know, making planes, drones, making, you know, Arduinos and stuff like that. So that was where it all started. Like, okay, seems like this code thing, this is all very, very interesting and it's worthwhile. So I would say in the shortest of forms, that's like the origin story. And every other thing, you know, just ensued. Got your first internship, got my first job. And yeah, we're pushing it until today.
Okay, so did you graduate with an electrical engineering degree?
Yes, top of my class too. So I was the best in my class and you know, very, very good, great point, in fact. But regardless, I haven't even gone. In Nigeria, we have this compulsory service that you're supposed to do after school. I haven't even done that. Because while in school, in my finals, I, you know, properly transitioned into software engineering, had a full-time job at that time. And yeah, once I was done with school, there was no looking back. And I still wish I could do some electrical engineering stuff. I can, but yeah, you know, there's always a lot of code to write. So that's the stage right now.
So you were working full time while you were still in school?
Yes, very much. And I think the fact that I already did the bulk of the work, like I already had the highest grade point. The second person to me in class was very far away. And I knew that, okay, even if I relax now, yeah, it's a home run. And it was a home run because I did relax a lot in the finals, even though it was not as relaxed as I would call it. So, yeah, eventually, everything worked out very well. And I'm very glad I did that because if I had focused on electrical engineering degree, yeah, I would be like most of my friends right now, you know, running around and stuff. But yeah, I just traded the time, went for full-time software engineering. And yeah, I'm happy that definitely was a choice I took.
That's amazing.
Oh, thank you. No, it's not as amazing as it sounds. I believe it's not as crazy. It's interesting and it is fascinating because coming from an hardware background, like I said, I was top of my class. I always had something I do every semester. So for example, I built, while I was still in my first year or second year, I built like devices I would use to take biometric attendance in class just for the fun of it. And I will build drones and I will build, you know, a lot of weird stuff. Now, the problem with that is with hardware engineering, you have to, you know, you have to plan it. You have to buy it. You have to make it. You have to ship it. And then it has to come back in 3 months, 2 months sometimes. And though you have to put in a lot of work into the planning. But software, I can think about it and do it. And that was a selling point for me. Like, think about it. There is a problem. Fix it. Do it. And there is this instant gratification. Like, oh, my God, it works. Yeah, that works. I got hooked. Like an addict, and I'm still hooked. So it's very hard to go back to waiting 3 months to verify that it works. So I just pull it.
Get that's done. Awesome. Yeah. That idea of the instant gratification, the short feedback loops, is a common one with people on the podcast, especially people who have, you know, changed careers. I think a lot of people, myself very much included, are drawn to that. You know, the instant gratification of being able to hit save and see if it worked right away, you know, and get a little bit of happy feelings, you know, when you can see something working or even not, you know that it's not working right away, right? The electrical engineering, yeah, you mentioned having all these plans before you even start working, which I'm sure is required. You can't just kind of dive in. But I mean, I'm sure it's satisfying in its own right, but it's, you know, yeah, it's a whole different thing, right? Do you still do some hobby electrical engineering these days, or is it kind of all behind you?
Hobby, yes, because, you know, if it's a career, you went to school for 5 years, it's very hard for you to rid yourself off of it. And also, you know, electrical engineering comes with embedded systems, you know, firmware development and stuff. And then you get sometimes, because you have this in-depth understanding of how computer works, how CPU works, sometimes it's not the best because you start thinking for the CPU, like, oh, what if I optimize? So that is a loop that I have to get myself out of. Like, stop thinking for, that is hardware. This is software. You can write the most inefficient code sometimes and it will still work. So then you can come back and make it better. But really, stop doing the work for the CPU. So so far, I would say, yes, I still have a couple of kits. And I do things that I want, not things that I'm expected to do. And that's the best place you want to be. And I hope one day, with regards to software, I'm going to be able to do things that I want to. Like, yeah, I want to do this. Maybe be a SaaS owner or something. But yeah, right now, I'm still grinding for the boss. And I hope that stops.
I
hope that stops.
I want to backtrack just a little bit. So how did you find that first job, especially since you didn't have a degree?
Very, very great question right there. So my first job requires a little clarification. I got my first job as an hardware engineer while in school too. It was more like a part-time job, but it was a job regardless. I was paid to do stuff? I don't remember anymore. This was a long time ago. But no, transitioning into software meant I would lose all of my internships with regards to hardware. And I had a couple of them. I had a lot of international collaborations. I had a lot of open source designs. I'm out there. I was out there. And then lo and behold, I had to let all of that go. So there was this internship that just came up. Like I said, I helped a friend fix a bug. That's all I did. And then I was like, oh, this is cool. Let me continue. And then I moved on to applying for that internship. And I got in and I spent 4 months there. Just 4 months. And after that point, the next job I got was like a referral from my brother. So I have a twin brother. He's also a software engineer. He also studied electrical electronics, and he also transitioned into software. So he applied for a job, and then he showcased one of the projects that he had in his portfolio. And the interview was like, wow, who built the backend? Oh, it's my twin brother. You have a twin brother? Yes. Really? Is he open for jobs? Yes. And then I got into that company, and I got paid more than him. So I got paid almost double of how much he was paid, even though I didn't even interview. I just said, "Well, really, you built that? Oh, you built the back end." So that was how I got my first job. I would say referrals, and then since then, I think referrals have been very huge in my getting a job. Currently, I'm also looking to transition away from Brace into something else. And I think one of my key things I'm really, really riding on is just to, like, ask for referrals. Like, don't worry, I'm very good. And we've worked together, right? And you know that. So can you refer me to your boss? And a couple of them went through. Some of them did not go through. But it's always something worthwhile to bank on. So yeah, that's the story, crazy story.
That is a fantastic story. I love it so much.
My brother, it wasn't fantastic.
We'll have your brother on maybe next season or something, and we'll get his version of the story.
Yeah, definitely. And it was very funny because I was right beside him when he was telling the man that, oh, it's my brother. Like, I was like this, oh yeah, that's me. I didn't know he was gonna say, send me an email. And the second day I had an interview, I think the third day I started work, and I was collecting almost double of what my brother got. Sorry, but it was very
cool. Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, that's like to be spooky. Awesome. So that's the way to tell everyone that, okay, whenever you're leaving somewhere, don't mess up the place. Just leave, even if it's the worst of places, even if it's not the, I don't want to say more than that. There are good places and there are good places. Even if it's one of those good places, just go. Keep it good because you never know. You might have to backtrack to one of those that you worked with. And they will remember you based on what you probably did last, not what you've already done in the front end. It's always good to leave on a good note.
Yeah, 100%. That's so important. I think that that's a hard thing to realize, right? Like, especially if you have a good track record. I heard somebody say in sales, like, you're only as good as your last month. And I've seen that before where people have been stellar salespeople and then they get fired for having like a bad month or a bad quarter or something. It's like, oh, wow. Like, you have to try to remember. It's not, I don't think, that bad in tech, but right now things are definitely a little bit tense on the side of things in hiring. Circling back to transitioning again, how did you learn to do backend development?
I think backend development was easy for me, coming from writing code for microcontrollers. And I was like, oh, really? This is what you people do. Of course, that's like the start. That was like the introduction. And the bulk of my work was like learning processes about projects. So within 2 months, I had 3 projects out. And like fast, the feedback is so short I can't do this. I think I bounced out at the point, and I came back again, like, no, there is no point now at this point. So the way I really, really learned was just doing projects. And I did not come across virtual coffee at that time. If I did, I think I might have been better than now. Because, you know, there is, at that point, I had no real industrial feedback, if you get my point. Like, I know I can get things done. You know, there's this peak that you get to when you're learning stuff. And you're, okay, I can get anything done, but I do not know what to do or whether I'm doing it right. And at that, we all know that doing it right and what to do is probably how we get paid for a software engineer. So that was how I learned. Just keep doing projects, you know, just come up with, I built a website for myself, and the website was basically to make me write more code. So basically, I built something that, okay, say Becca wants to write more code. Like, yeah, I want to commit 5 times a week now. So you're going to come and you're going to put like, okay, $20. If I fail to commit 5 times a week, the system just donates your $20 to charity. And that way you have to fight not to let the money get donated. And I built it for myself. I use it for a while. And then trust me, I stopped using it myself too. So yeah, that's one of those things that I built. And they were very good during the interview processes because, you know, it's funny. People can, what, really? You built that? So yes, I can send you the link in case you have like a kid that's not very, you know, you want to make them do better. So yeah, that's how I learned. And since then, that's how I have learned a lot of things, you know, just build it. Although now that I'm getting older, I think I'm able to grab docs and, you know, just check it out, know what I want and figure it out without building it. But initially, it was a build first, ask questions later. And that worked out pretty well at that point of my life.
I like that a lot. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I'm super impressed about you is your motivation to continue to grow. Like, you, it doesn't seem like you ever say stay stagnant. You're constantly learning something new or trying something out or asking questions about things. And I think that's super important to wherever you are in your tech journey, to be able to continue to make progress on things. Because, I mean, honestly, tech is a never-ending journey. It cannot stop because we have to continually move and make progress. And there's all this innovation that's happening, and staying up with the innovation is incredibly important, I think. I just want to toss that back over to you and see, like, what are your thoughts on making progress and staying motivated and keeping up with all of the stuff that's happening?
Yeah. So with regards to that, I think it's one of my, say, frequent posts on LinkedIn, because I think I have this audience of very young developers. Many of them are from my school, so they know me. And, you know, they just follow it on LinkedIn. So I just try to put some things out. I think foremost, you're only as good, or you can only get as good as you know you can be. So it's very important to know people that are very, very good, because they will set those standards for you. You know, starting very local, like, you know, local job, local company, you know, simple, just do this, get it done. At the point you feel like, okay, is this all that there is to software engineering? And then, bam, you meet one new awesome dev and they introduce you to this new awesome, feel like, what? I can do this? And at that point, I think everything just shuts down. And then you just, you know, you just re-strategize, like, okay, that's where I'm going now. And you keep doing that. And right now, if there is anything I'm very, very grateful for right now, is VC, Virtual Coffee, and Grace Health. Virtual Coffee, Grace Health. Virtual Coffee, why? Because everyone is there. It's not a company, it's a community. And they're very awesome people there. And I have had sessions with a lot of people, David, Albert, a lot of people. And then just by talking to them, you know that, oh my God, there's so much to learn. And it goes, you know, just even reading the questions that people post, you get to know, okay, there is something like this. I want to check that out. And the more you check those things out, the more you know, okay, I have to know this. And then with regards to Grace, I had this awesome manager, Uwe Dauwenijn, awesome guy, like awesome, awesome. And then just by meeting him, you know, oh my God, there is levels to this thing. It's not just, oh, I'm a software engineer. No, you have to get better. You have to get as good as these awesome peeps. So far, I don't see myself as good yet because I have seen so many awesome. I mean, Dan is here. Becca is here. Dan's TypeScript used. Everyone knows this. So I know there is so much to learn. And at that point, you don't get full of yourself. Don't stop being hungry, and you keep shooting for it. And that dynamic-ishness, that is how you get to wherever you want to go. Don't mind my English. I'm not a
dynamism.
I know the dynamism. What, I mean, we both speak English, and that's a tough word.
We have.
Dynamism,
I think. I could be wrong. So if there are listeners out there and would like to correct us, feel free to do that. I love that advice, that idea of like continuing to be hungry. And I think that, you know, sometimes that can be really hard when you start to lose motivation. But in some sense, if you continue to be hungry, I feel like that helps to provide that motivation. Have you ever struggled with motivation and found ways to like continue to be hungry in that situation?
Yes and no. Yes, because I think no, because let me start from there. I think historically I'm a very, very energetic person. That if I don't have somewhere to put that energy, I might blow up like a nuclear bomb. So I just have to find somewhere to put it. So because of that, there is always this thing that pushes me until I meet something that keeps pushing me. That is what. But like as human beings, we always have our ups and downs. So yes. Sometimes it just comes and everything feels cold. I have this thing called the... Is it the winter blues? When it's cold, I feel bad. I feel like, oh my God, what's going on? Why is this world like this? So maybe most times at that point, then okay, I might need to push. And you know, you cannot go all year round with just warm weather. You have the colds too. So overall, the fact that you have to deliver, the fact that I really, really care about what people think about me, at least in the work context, I really, really care. And I think that might be, might not be the best, but I really, really care. I really care that you know I'm doing my best, my possible best at this point. And even if I don't feel very good, I will let you know I'm not feeling good. Why, or not, don't do anything, or just do it because I have to deliver. Because I also feel, I get disappointed if someone says, okay, don't worry, it's going to be there tomorrow. And I get there tomorrow, it's not there. I feel bad. That's why I don't like to promise people a lot of things. I will promise you what I'm gonna give you, but don't also promise me what you're not gonna give. So that's a little bit of a philosophical thing for me. So because I know I have to deliver, because I know I signed up for 40 hours a week, because I know I'm gonna get paid, I don't want to get paid for not working. So yeah, that pushes me. Yeah, at least me, that's what I will say. As an answer to that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm going to pivot a little bit here. So you're in Nigeria, and it seems like there's a pretty great tech scene happening there. Is that something that you're a part of?
I think the thing is, for a long time now, Nigeria has been on the map for tech for a long time. I will say, I don't think I have had any impact on that. Why? Because we have so many awesome people, really. You know, just like I said, I've met Hoover, I've met Dan, I've met David, Becker, like awesome. I have also met a lot of awesome Nigerian devs. Like, wow, this is awesome. And I have met a lot more that are also killing it in the international, you know, space. And so I don't think my contribution to that is very small, but I believe they've done a lot. Some of them have been doing this for the past 10 years, 15 years. You know, even bringing people into tech, you know, letting you know what's the status quo, what's the standard is, what quality of code you should write, etc. But at least my humble part, I believe my manager said, oh, I'm the first Nigerian he's met, and he's very happy he met me. So, well, that's a plus one. That's a plus one, at least. So I wouldn't say I'm right there, but yeah, I'll say I'm coming. And everyone should watch. They should watch.
Where is Grace Health based out of?
Grace Health is based in Sweden, Stockholm, Sweden. So it's like a fem health tech startup. So it really empowers the goal, or let's say the goal is to empower women in middle and low income countries and get them to have access to health education, health infrastructure in a way, and they can also get to link them with services that they have around them they did not know they had around them. So that's basically the whole goal of just giving health, awesome health services to women in middle and low-income countries by the virtue of the phones. And so far, yeah, it's been an awesome journey. It's probably the best company I've worked in my life. And I hope the trend goes up. So, yeah, I really do.
That's great to hear that you've enjoyed that experience. We haven't had that many back-end engineers on the podcast. Can you talk a little bit about what your day-to-day looks like?
Oh, my God. So, back-end is the best. I think now I have to campaign because everyone, you've been listening to front-end for a long time. This is time for you to vote for back-end. You know? It's not about Democrats or anything. We're just the best. We're the best. So you should come vote for us. Basically, on a normal day, I think, our day starts with checking your mails. Like, okay, what do I have? And your mail will most likely reflect, say, task assignment, if you get new tasks, task progress, if it moved away, your GitHub, history, your GitHub PR status, is it approved? Do you have things to change? So I think mostly, personally, I will start with those things before we have our stand-up meeting. And during our stand-up, that's where you get to communicate your blockers, your status, all of those. And you get to ask for help. They will prefer you have had threats there before, but sometimes it's always good for everyone to know, yeah, I asked for help, and I'm working on that help thingy. And then you go back and then fix stuff. So back-end is just the back-end of the internet. Yeah, that's what I would say. If I shouldn't make it more complicated. That's why you store data. That's why you fetch data. And that's why you return the data. That's why you play with data. And you just show everyone the result of playing with data. I hope that
helps. What language are you using?
Oh, I write a lot of languages. For backend, I write TypeScript, JavaScript, Node.js, those scripts. But I prefer Golang. I really, really love Golang. I also write PHP. I'm not fond of it. I write C++, but not for backend, much more for embedded systems. But I write Dart. I literally wrote an article about learning Dart just to spite my friend. Because he said, oh my God, it's so hard. I cannot, really? I've never written this before in my life, and I'm going to learn it. I'm going to write it in 2, 3, 4 hours. And I did. And I sent him the PR. Like, what? Yes. Now he's earning a lot of money now in the company now. And he doesn't remember that thing anymore. That's why I wrote the article. I wrote it so that he knows that I did that. And I'll share with him the article very soon. So it's for backend mostly TypeScript, JavaScript, Node.js, and Golang. But Python, I write Python too. Whatever comes, I write, really. But I just prefer Golang. It's the... Sorry for everyone anymore. It's what TypeScript wanted to be. I never.
Oh, spicy day.
Yeah, I saw it.
Why do you like it more? Like, what do you like about Golang, you know, as compared to some of the other languages?
Golang, I think it's very, very, the boundaries is very defined. Like, yeah, we do, Golang doesn't have a lot of, you know, things added onto it. You literally, if both of us wrote the same thing, there's very high, there's higher probability that we wrote it the same way. Because you use primitives, you use the for loop, the range, everything. You know how you're going to write it. And it's cleaner. It's also strongly typed. And it doesn't compile to JavaScript. That's the most important fact. It doesn't. Sorry, Dan.
But I don't know it.
It does talk about the JavaScript. So it's faster. I think we had one thing at Brace. We had to rewrite the all of our code base from Node, TypeScript, to Golang. And we did that in 5 months. Four months, three engineers, I think an hour, awesome manager over. And we did cut a lot of cost. And then I think if not up to like 40-50% slash, because we could downsize our instances on AWS, our CI/CD ran faster. It was just awesome. That's how I fell in love again with Go, because I had already been writing Go before I joined Grayself. So everyone should learn Go, Dan. Learn Go. Please.
Right, Dan.
Please.
I mean, you know, we'll see. It, as soon as we can write Go for the browser, then I'm down. Otherwise, yeah. is there a transpiler to transpile Go to JavaScript?
Look on Kaiwo's face when you asked that question.
That was the only reason. Yeah, that was the only reason I asked that question.
Oh, no. I want to have, if we want to have like a Go something, how are we going to have it? TypeScript Tuesday? Golang? Vekka, I'm looking at you now.
Go Thursday. Go Wednesday. Go Monday. No.
I think it should be like Go Monday. Like,
we'll workshop it. Yeah.
Go Monday. Let's go.
Sorry. I was on the spot.
Yeah, we might start that. Start thinking about it. I believe VC has a lot of awesome Go developers. Just one of the notable mentions, I think, is David. And I learned a lot of things. We had quite a number of pair programming sessions. And they're like, oh, David, just check this out for me. Which is why for everyone that's in VC, that is not leveraging on the awesome body of experience and loving human beings that we have there. Oh, you're just experiencing the V. The C part, you haven't experienced it. So V, C, you've done the V, do the C. Just reach out, ask questions, let people help you. I think, Becca, you might want to write that down so that we get virtual coffee. Do the V, do the C.
So you are super impressive. I just want to say all of the stuff that you talk about is you clearly know a lot. You are passionate about the things that you talk about. You're opinionated about it. I really appreciate that. So if you were to imagine your dream job, I know that you said like maybe starting a SaaS would be in your future. What does that dream job look like?
So I think my dream job, I think the perfect job for anyone, I would say, is a job that has its expectations very well defined. I think that's the smallest thing I can. Yes, also with colleagues, but you know, there's a little by which you can affect that because human beings are human beings. But at least at the barest minimum, let the expectations be defined. And it's not about like, oh, this is what you're gonna do, and you get there and stop doing. No. It's more like with regards to whatever you want to do at the point, let the expectations be defined. Because at the bulk of the problems we have with human beings is the fact that you expect this and you get this. Really. You expect something good, you get something bad. You expect something bad if you're a shady person, you get something good. So with regards to jobs, I think that would be like the biggest. And if I can help it, awesome colleagues, because I tend to form long-term relationships with the people I've worked with. Like I said, I never spoil the floor when I'm leaving. I never do that. And that is why the bulk of my boss, they're my friends, and I can reach out to them. We can, you know, chat, talk, you know, hang. Many of them are remote, so yeah, we just hang over the phone. But awesome human beings. Very, very awesome to have. But I believe at this point, and everyone, we've seen that, sometimes it might be very hard to ask. And it's very, very sorry. It's very, very crazy that it's hard to ask someone to be an awesome human being. But yeah, life just eats everyone differently. So in a nutshell, very, very predefined expectations and awesome, awesome colleagues. And yeah, I will be happy to do work. Good work too.
I think that's a really good answer. And I think that's one that is important to talk about, because a lot of new folks especially have certain expectations for starting a new job. And I know for sure I did when I graduated boot camp. Like, there was a list of things that I wanted. And I was lucky to have a career coach that was like, you're not going to get all of these things in one job, or it's okay that you not get these things. And what I did find was most important was exactly what you said, like having those expectations set, so I didn't feel like I was floundering all of the time, and working with good people. Because, hey, you might be working on the most interesting technology out there, but if you're working with not good people, it's not going to be enjoyable, and it's probably going to hold back your progress. Because I find that like frustration on the team side for sure can impede what you're doing. And like, I can see a big difference between previous jobs that I had and my current job, right? Like, I've been here at my current job for 4 months, and I have done so much in the 4 months, probably more than I did in an entire year at a previous job. But that's because I'm not feeling blocked all the time, because there's a sense of ownership over what I'm doing. And I did love my immediate team at my previous job. But sometimes it's larger than just those handful of people you're working with, right? Like, you have to kind of figure out the overall structure of the organization and the people that are around you to see, like, is this a place that the expectations for my team are aligned with the expectations of the broader team of people, and can we all work together to accomplish these things, which can be really hard to establish or understand from any kind of interview process.
Very hard. Very, very hard. I think at this point, interviews have become a little bit one-sided with regards to, it's about what you bring onto the table, what you can do, how fast you can do it, and how less of money you can collect while doing it. It's frustrating. It's crazy. Well, you know, it's about this power balance. Like, the bulk of the power is not in your hand. At least not until you become very, very good. When you become very good, yeah, you can dictate. At this point, no. Because currently, I'm looking for another job because of certain things I don't think I can talk about on the podcast. And yeah, from my interviews, yeah, I can feel that power struggle. I can feel like, yeah, I'm not right where I'd like to be. I don't want to be at this position. It's not good for me. It's not even good for me mentally. Like, it's about how good. And I can do magical stuff, trust me. But when expectations are too high or too low, well, it just messes everything up. Like, okay, now. And I have, like, currently I have a gig, and this gig, I don't really want to talk too much about it, but it, like, really opened my eyes to how good, how important having great colleagues is. Like, it's too much. You just want it. Well, obviously, because you cannot, sometimes you have to eat. And you just have to, yeah, well, I gotta eat. So yeah, that's my take. I don't even know if that makes sense.
Yeah, that for sure makes sense. And I think you are looking for another job, and that's just because of circumstances of your company are changing, right? And so We have time for about one more question, and maybe this is a good time for you to give your pitch. So if you're looking for a job, tell us, who you are, what you want to do, in the way that you would pitch a hiring manager.
Thank you. Now, this is where I'm going to rock. So hello, everyone. My name is Taiwo. I'm just saying hello again because I know you've heard. But in case if you didn't hear, this is the time to listen. I'm Taiwo. I am a backend engineer. I have 4 years of experience and a couple more before then building hardware. So trust me, there is nothing I haven't built. Even if I haven't built it, I have thought about it, how to build it. So I'm out there looking for a backend engineering role, preferably a mid-level backend engineering role. Because like I said, I know my level, I know where I want to be, and I know how I like to get there. So I also double as a DevOps engineer. I love AWS. I'm quite comfortable with Terraform, all of those things. So if you need someone to get things done, that's all. I'm here for you, and I'm going to get it done for you. I hope that's okay. Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah, and I just love your constant motivation, your desire to learn and make progress, and I think that that's huge. So if you're out there listening and you're hiring, Taiwo is available and amazing. And with that, I want to say thank you so much, Taiwo, for being here and sharing your story with us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Dan, Becca. This is awesome. Now I get to go hear myself talk. That's awesome. Wow. Yeah, I like that voice. I like that voice.
All right. Thank you, Taiwo. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harrell-Weigel and edited by Ashley Mulder. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io or email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, sign up for the newsletter, buy some VC merch, and check out all of our other resources on our website, virtualcoffee.io. If you're interested in sponsoring Virtual Coffee, you can find out more information on our website at virtualcoffee.io/sponsorship. Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.